Welcome to the Brockport Writers Forum, an ongoing series of conversations with leading literary contemporaries. I'm Stan Rubin, your host. Our guest today, Kevin Clark, comes to us from California. He was born and raised in New Jersey and educated at the University of Florida and at the University of California at Davis, where he received both an MA in creative writing and a PhD degree in literature. His work has appeared in many magazines nationally for years, including the Antioch Review, the Georgia Review, College English, and numerous others. But this last year, 2002, he has, after several chapbooks we'll be discussing, his first prize-winning full-length collection, In the Evening of No Warning, published by New Issues Press, and underwritten by the Academy of American Poets, a Greenwald Fund grant. Clark's poems have appeared widely, but this is his first full-length collection, and that will be the subject of our conversation here. He teaches at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, where he lives with his wife and two children. Also speaking with us today is Ralph Black, a poet and a colleague of mine, professor in the Department of English at SUNY Brockport. Ralph, I'm glad you could be with us.
Thanks.
And Kevin, welcome to the Writers Forum.
Thanks for having me, Stan.
I kind of stumbled there on your book, but in fact, the poem you just read, Parallel Paths, seems to me to raise a number of issues we're likely to be exploring a bit in this conversation. It's, first of all, very much a poem about love and love's aftermaths and difficulties.
And the frailty of marriage, too. I don't know if you've been to the forest outside of Princeton. There's a virgin forest which they cut a grid through. The Institute for Advanced Studies, right outside there. And I used to walk occasionally there with my wife, and it just became the setting for the poem. And I thought, often I write poems, I don't know what's going to happen. I just throw a line down, and I see what's going to happen next. And I discovered that this was the setting and this was the subject. Somebody else is breaking up. The you, or the protagonist in the poem, is there with his wife, and he's watching somebody else breaking up, and of course there's parallel concerns.
And the figure of the wife at the end really takes on a lot of resonance, almost mythological. I can picture someone in a European film, in a field of flowers.
Yes, and of course she's vanished at first, at least for the reader, but no, it's just that the husband can't find her. Right? Oh, and there she is. And she's somehow touched by this ochre light, he's in love with her for the first time in weeks, right? You know, there's the cycle of love that you can go through in a long-term relationship. Although I must say, I started writing this poem before I was married. I finished it after I was married. My wife always thinks that this is a little odd. She's always a little uncomfortable with that opening line.
We'd have to ask you what she thought of that.
Yes, she's always a little uncomfortable.
But I mean, luck and love go together.
Well, yeah, lucky and love is that phrase, that cliche, right? But I put a comma between it, so it says that today you're lucky, comma, in love with your wife for the first time in weeks. That's right. So,
the poem, to me, one of several wonderful love poems in this book, and you know, I think about the sprig of the mutable wildflowers at the end, and it's so far away from the romantic, you know, the rose that we know that's been the tradition for such a long time. And many of your love poems really open up the territory of what a love poem is. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about maybe your reading of love poems in the past, and sort of how you see your poems sort of following in a tradition.
Well, you know, there is a tendency, I think, and I'm sure we've all seen it with our students, but I think it existed certainly before before the 20th century and well into the 20th century, to over-romanticize love, to over-romanticize marital love, etc. And I think in the poems I'm writing about marriage and love, I don't want to reduce the intensity of passion that exists, but I also want to establish the difficulty of maintaining not just passion, but friendships, that over a long period of time, you have to work on these things. Mm-hmm. These things are hard earned, and that kind of reality sometimes, that kind of realism, I should say, sometimes bothers traditionalists or romantics mm-hmm. who want to think everything is beautiful mm-hmm. all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
I mean, and part of that interest in your poems is, of course, the physical world, the physical love, a wonderful sense of the erotic in a lot of these poems. And yet, in a poem like The Gift, arguably the most erotic poem in the book, there's a way in which the attention in the poem weaves in and out of, you know, of just description, but also very self-conscious, thinking about, you know, the mind is sort of moving in all sorts of directions, and these two kind of threads interweave throughout the poem.
Yeah, and I think they also interweave in some of the other poems, those same threads,
absolutely.
But and I think you're right. The Gift is an interesting poem because while it's written in the third person, it's about a man. I sometimes write poems about men who do foolish things, mm-hmm. right? I rarely write poems, for some reason, I rarely write poems about women who do foolish things, occasionally, but because I'm a man and I've done so many foolish things, I find myself on themes like this. And in this is a case where a couple years ago had an argument and then had this, after the argument, you know, typical, had this great sex, right? Just spectacular sex. And they're married for a while. And her birthday's coming up, and he thinks, oh, I'm going to recreate that sex, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to make it. Now, of course, you can't do that. Everybody knows you can't do that, right? It's like enlightenment. You may be able to prepare for enlightenment, but you can't mm-hmm. pursue it. Well, it's the same thing with good sex, mm-hmm. right? And so in that poem, there's what happened in the past, and there's what's happening now. And there is his consciousness, and then, in a way, he is conscious of her consciousness, mm-hmm. and she's smarter than he is. Mm-hmm. She knows that you can't do this. Mm-hmm. Right.
I wonder if we could ask you to read the poem.
Okay.
It's just Ralph has prepared for it. The Gift received the Charles Angoff Award from the editors of the Literary Review.
Yes,
and
okay.
It is an erotic poem, as you've just put everyone on notice. So
yes.
Be so kind as to read it.
Yes, I guess I should say that it's a good thing my wife is not in the studio, because even though it's written in the third person and some of it's made up, etc., we have an agreement that I will never read this poem while she's in the audience. Right, because she refuses to have people conscious of her while this is going on.